this house tonight. Hallelujah!
You are the awesome, mighty one now. Your enemies, they better run now. They are no match, no comparison. Got all across to overcome you. Took this thing out of death that day. Conquering both hell and the grave.
Yeah!
ought to know that he's a real God. Hallelujah. How many know that he's a real God? Hallelujah. How many know that he can heal you? How many know that he can save you? Woo! How many know that he can set you free? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Why don't you just step out right where you are and shout a little bit about that? If you don't know how, just have somebody take you by the hand and show you. Praise God. Come on, shake your neighbor a little bit and tell him he's got the power. God's got the power. I want everybody that has a need in the house tonight, lift your hand. You need something from God. With that hand in the air, lift up your voice and say, but I know God's got the power. I know God's got the power. I know God has it in control. Yeah, he's got the power. Yeah. Oh, you ought to shout about that. God can feel that need right now. He can move on that situation right now. Hey. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We have a prayer request here for Kevin Forbes and Forbus. And somebody asked that we would anoint a cloth for him. He's going to go to Iraq in a few weeks, and he's here with his family, only 4 days on leave. His mother is named Angie, and she's Sister Gina's co-worker. And the family has approached Sister Gina and asked her for this, and we want to do this tonight. Praise the Lord. Brother Cedric, Brother Robert, come. Brother Butch, would you come? Praise God. We're going to anoint this cloth tonight. I want the whole church, though, to extend your hand. It's for Kevin Forbus. He's going to Iraq, and he wants to take a prayer cloth with him. And we've read in the Word of God where they sent cloths that were anointed, and they carried the power of God, the healing of God, the anointing of God. And that can happen in this place tonight. Hallelujah. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Ghost, but the anointing radiates from God's people in the invoking of the name of Jesus. Lord God, whoever bears this cloth, let it be a shield to them, O God. Let it be the protective hand of God upon his life. Wherever he goes, O God, let the power of God go with him. According to your word, O Lord, let your anointing be upon him by virtue of the prayer of your people. Your word declares if we agree that we have the power, O God, to bind it on earth and it's bound in the heavens, to loose it on the earth and it's loosed in the heavens. Do it, oh God, tonight in Jesus' name. And let this household, let this man, let this family know that God has visited with them and that the hand of God has been upon them. We pray that you'd keep him, bring him home safely to his family once again. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Praise God. If you guys would deliver that to Sister Gina, Brother Al, praise God. Feel the Holy Ghost all over that. I I think God loves it when you call on Him and ask Him to do something that is obviously beyond your power. One of the most powerful prayers in the scripture is the prayer of Jehoshaphat when he stands with the people of God and the enemy is too strong and they are too many. And it's a simple prayer. They just bring all the wives and the little ones and the families out and they just stand before God like we're standing tonight. And the prayer is simple. We don't have any strength, neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon You. God can't resist that humility and that contrite heart. If you want to go do it all by yourself, God will let you. And when you pick yourself up and shake yourself off, He'll be there waiting for you. But if you can learn the lesson early and learn it before you bear too many scars, God loves it when you give the whole responsibility of your life to Him. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you feel like God's thus far taken better care of you than you took care of yourself when you had it all in your hand and in your responsibility? Doesn't He do good work? Just does good, good things. Praise God. We're in the 33rd chapter of the Psalms again tonight, and we're going to go on to chapter 37, but we're going to pursue this business of the attitude of David. David is a man who knows God's presence and understands the power of it, and consequently, he has an attitude about life and about the Word of God and about his disposition before God. And I would like to have an attitude like David's, because I found God's hand to be upon him. And God loved him to the degree that even after he had fallen, God spoke of him in such high terms that nobody could ever achieve what David had achieved. And when God spoke of other kings, he would always give the descriptive, whether good or evil, but then he would finish that by saying, but he wasn't like my servant David. And nobody in the scripture has been quite like David, and it's because he understood relationship with God and the presence of God. Psalms 33, beginning in verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp and sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song and play skillfully with a loud noise. For my wife told me the emphasis there is on skillfully. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loves righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Everyone say, praise is comely for the upright. Tell your neighbor you look better when you're praising God. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody, play skillfully with a loud noise. Somebody say, the word of the Lord is right. All His works are done in truth. And now the whole house, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Turn to someone by you and tell them, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Praise God. You can be seated. Let's give Him thanks and praise for His word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank You, mighty God, for Your word tonight. We thank You for every blessing, for the power of it, for the life that it's given us. We praise You for the structure, the law, the rule, the statute, the commandment. We give You thanks for it tonight. David was focused on and valued highly the presence of the Lord. Psalms 27 and 4, he said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life, to inquire in His temple, to behold His beauty. He just wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. I don't think it meant he wanted to move into the temple, but he wanted to ease into that place where the presence of God was. David was unique in his approach to God. He was allowed to go into the temple and eat of the bread of the temple. It was not his by birth. It was not his by license, but he had a relationship with God. And because of that, he had full range of the temple and he had access with God. I want you to know that favor with God and access with God is more important than anything else you'll ever have in your life. I'll say that again. Favor with God is more important in your life than anything else you'll ever have. It is an open door that no man can close. It is a hand in a moment of need that you couldn't even begin to expect. And all the rules begin to bend and change in the hand of God, natural rules and rules of life, when God begins to move on your behalf. David had no business eating the showbread, but he belonged to God, and God loved him. And he had access in places where others did not. Psalm 16 and 11, everyone say, in his presence there is fullness of joy. If you want to maintain joy in your personal life, joy in your marriage, joy in your experience in life, you keep it in the presence of God. But the source of joy is in his presence. And the Old Testament prophet tells us very boldly that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You're not going to find a victorious child of God who is down in the depths of depression and the mully grubs and eaten up with negativism, but you're going to find victory when you find somebody that has maintained an experience in joy. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And to do that, you've got to have a mindset that is much like David's. Psalms 22 and 3, God inhabits the praises of Israel. David understands that. He becomes the songwriter for Israel. He's the psalmist for Israel. And we still sing his psalms. And we still handle those prayers and this book of songs that came from David. Because he understood the need for emphasis on praise. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. That's why we spend so much time worshiping God around here. He is worthy, but we want his presence to move in this house. We want God to be a part of everything that we do around here. We want him to breathe into us every time we gather together. I need him in my house. I need him in my life. I need the glory cloud of God to settle down in this house every time we come together. It's way too late in the dispensation, and we are much too weak in ourselves. We need the presence of God to come down in this house every time we get together. My God, every time I bow my knee in prayer, I need God to show up in that place. I've got things to do I can't do on my own. I've got a devil to fight I can't fight on my own. I've got a nature to subdue. I need God's presence. I need God's hand on my life. Praise God. So David understands singing, praising, worshiping, dancing, all kinds of music and the necessity of it for the attraction of the presence of God. Consequently, he becomes Israel's greatest king. He becomes their songwriter. He is their conqueror. And his descendancy is the throne of the Christ. When the Christ is born, he's born in a household that is the household of David. And it is because of David's mindset and his attitude toward God. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It didn't mean he didn't have any problems, but it meant that he looked at every problem and said, the earth is still full of the goodness of God. And he would look over his enemy, and he would look over his trouble. He would carry them all to God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We looked at Psalms 33 and Psalms 34 this morning. We're going to resume in Psalms 34 down around verse 11. And it is David's desire here to teach us. And he wants us to know his secrets. And he wants to share with us that benefit that he has derived from walking in the presence of God and valuing the presence of God. Come, ye children, and hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Well, I want to sit at this man's feet. I want to know what he knows. I want to have an understanding of how he attracts such favor with God. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Now, that's a question. It requires an answer. Who in the house desires life and loves many days and wants to see good? Anybody in the house? Okay, some of you don't. You want to die right now in a world of trouble. But how many of you want to see good things in your life and you want the blessing and the favor of God in your life? And yeah, that's what I thought. That's what David is asking. What man is he that desires this? He said, well, to begin with, keep your tongue from evil. Shut your mouth about negative, evil, hurtful, awful things. He said, the first thing you want to do if you want the favor of God, if you want to walk in the presence of God, God will not attend unto your savagery towards somebody else. God won't be a part of your gossip. God won't live in your house if it's a house full of backbiting and sniping and trouble and fussing and cussing at every. God will not abide in that place. David said the first thing you need to do is get rule over your tongue. If you can't say something good, don't speak. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. That's in regard to your enemy, much less the people of God. My God, there ought not be one negative word in this house ever about anything to do with the people of God. That is, if you responded, you want the blessing of God, you want the favor of God, you want the goodness of God. David said it all begins with your mouth. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Don't dissimulate. Be honest and innocent and forthright and true in what you say. Don't dissemble. Don't say one thing to one person and another to another. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. The Bible says that if you are like that, you are unstable in all of your ways. And you'll never have the presence and the favor of God in your life. But be for real. Verse 14, depart from evil. There is a moral expectancy. There is an accountability before God tonight that we carry. And if we have the desire to walk in the presence of God and to have his favor in our lives, then we have to depart from evil. It begins there. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, depart from evil. But it's not enough to depart from evil. He said, you've got to depart from evil and do good. You're not going to walk in the presence and the favor of God just because you can tick off the list of all that you don't do. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't dance with bow-legged women, I don't juke and jive at the honky-tonks, I don't go down to the crack house. These are all the things that I don't do, and I applaud you. That's wonderful. Don't do those things. But not doing the bad is not salvation. And not doing the bad is not walking in favor. Because he says you got to quit doing the evil and then start doing the good. You can't live this thing in neutral. You got to get over on God's side. And the goodness of the Lord fills the whole earth. God is all about doing good. He does good to the just and to the unjust. God does good to everybody. So you got to find good things to do. It's not enough that you don't. I'm glad that you don't smoke 5 packs of Marlboros a day. I'm glad that you're not mainlining heroin and crack. And I'm glad that you're not stealing hubcaps in the middle of the night. And your mom and dad would tear you apart if you were. But yeah, I'm glad you're not doing all that. But now that's just coming out of Egypt. But there's a land to be taken and a life for God to be lived and exploits to be done and a commandment to be obeyed. And God's looking for a young man that one will come out of evil. Oh, it's so sad because some people never get past coming out of evil. They're living right here on the line. I've got a little bit of something. I'm backslidden today. I'm restored because of Sunday night, but now I'm backslidden again. And you're struggling with holiness, and you're struggling with telling the truth, and you're struggling with profane thoughts, and you struggle with all of that, and you think somehow God is neglecting you. But if you would get off the bubble and quit living for the evil and get into the good, you would find the favor and the presence of God. It's not enough to come out. You've got to go in. It's not enough to quit the evil. You got to do the good. Praise God. You need to find the good of the Word of God. The kingdom of God is proactive. It's not just about coming out. It's about going in. So depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We're not, God's people aren't looking for a fight. God's people aren't looking for a fight. We're not looking to show how rough and mean and tough and macho we are. We're not. We are peace lovers. That's what we are. And if you've ever been in a real sure enough good fight, you know nobody comes out unscratched, unmarred. I mean, you won the fight, but for the rest of your life, you're breathing out of one side of your nose. And that's hardly seems to be something to be desired. leave evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. You want God to hear you? You've got to do this thing right. All the devil wants to do is call you over to the sideline and get you in a little huddle and start talking to you about things you ought not talk about. My God, it's always around the church. There'll always be somebody in the body. There'll always be something around the body that'll call you over to the sideline and say, come here, sweetie, let's talk. Or come here, you big hunk of man, let's talk and want to get together and talk about things that aren't like God. But that's the enemy's agenda. Our agenda is to be so close to the center. We want to be so wrapped up in the vortex of what God is doing. Praise God. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. That should be a chilling remark. 34 and 17, the righteous cry and the Lord hears. Everybody say, God hears the righteous. If you want God to hear you, you got to walk this thing righteously. Delivered them out of all their troubles. Everybody say all their troubles. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Somebody ought to at least say amen to that. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Do you understand that this word of God said if you walk in his favor and you walk in his presence, the righteous cry, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all. Everybody say all. All their troubles. If you're in trouble right now, but if you're living righteously and in the presence and you love the ways of God, I'm telling you, God's going to deliver you out of all of those troubles. I'm reading right from the book tonight. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And that's a fact. We walk through life just like everybody else does. And that's one of the things, one of the components of the plan of God. He has put his bride in this earth. We walk just like they walk. But we walk with the hope of God in our lives. We have the afflictions just like they do. We have flat tires. We get sick. Things break down. Trouble comes to our house. But the good news is the Lord delivers him out of them all. You may have an affliction in your life right now, but I'll tell you by the word of God, God's going to deliver you out of that if you're walking in his presence and you're leaving the evil and you're doing good and you're following this attitudinal schedule of that man David. Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's going to deliver me out of all of it. Now, do you believe that tonight? Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. You've got to have that attitude. When you're in the pit, you got to be able to look at the walls of that pit and just say, God's going to deliver me out of all of this. When you're in the hands of the enemy and he looks like he has control, you need to be able to look him in his eye and say, God, my God, is going to deliver me out of all of this. Haven't you read about the three who stood before the king and they wouldn't bow down to his image in the plain of Dura? And they said, God is able to deliver me out of your hand. One way or the other, God's going to deliver me. Praise God. God's not going to leave me in this place. And that's why you can, if you're in the jail, you can sing at night. That's why this is rampant throughout the word of God, that God's people have this inordinate joy, this inordinate confidence and faith in God, because they believe this thing that David planted in the heart of Israel, that God delivers us out of everything. Are you in trouble right now? God's going to deliver you out of that. Now, this is qualified. Not if you're sleazy and evil and lying and cheating. I can't give you any guarantees at all about that. But if you're living this thing righteous and you're leaving the evil and you're doing the good and you're attracting the presence of God, I can tell you unequivocally, God's going to deliver you out of that trouble. God's going to deliver you out of that affliction. God will deliver you out of that dilemma. The pit can't stop you. The prison can't stop you. God is going to deliver you. Somebody say praise God. Now, you're not nearly as happy about that as you ought to be. My God, if I was standing in the middle of a trial right now, I'd be doing the Eagle Rock around the house of God tonight. God's going to deliver me. This thing may endure for a little while. Now, chapters 35 and 36 are prayers of deliverance to God. And David's demeanor is different when he's speaking to God. He talks all about his enemies. He tells God all about his problems. And you need to understand that we're not saying to deny or dismiss or ignore the negatives or the problems. Those are the realities of life. But you take them before God. Take every need, take every problem, every enemy before God. David gives us a guideline for that in 35 and 36. But on to chapter 37, he's talking there to others. And again, he becomes our mentor and our teacher. And it follows the same flow as those chapters we've been touching. He's talking to us about how to achieve the presence and to walk in the favor of God. And chapter 37, verse 1. Everybody say, fret not thyselves because of evildoers. Don't worry. But you don't know what they're doing. Don't worry about them. But you haven't seen what they're up to. Don't sweat it. Come on now, you got to get over the bump on this. You belong to God. God takes care of your business. Your business is God's business. There's not a weapon formed against you that can prosper. God has his hand on your life, and you don't know where he's taking you, but you need to rest assured. God's going to deliver you. Don't worry about evildoers. When you sit down at your table and you're worried, and you lie down on your bed and you're worried, and you get up in the morning and you're worried, you can't walk in the presence of God because you're fearful, your joy runs out of your boot, and you're just reduced to groveling in a cloud of fear, and God's presence won't abide there. Fear is the antithesis of faith. So it starts with, don't worry about the evildoer. You're way too worried about what people are doing that's wrong. And I have a sneaking suspicion that part of your depraved humanity would like to find an excuse in somebody else to do something that's not godly. Do you see what they're doing? So? There's always been sinners. Don't you see what they're doing? There's always been backsliders. Don't you see how they're living? Well, my God, he told us it'd be wheat and tares. He told us the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea and brings all kinds of fish, good and bad, and it doesn't get sorted out till the judgment. You don't have the power to be the judge. And during the trip, some of the bad's going to become good. I'm convinced of it. Well, praise God. He said, don't fret over the evildoers. You're going to lose all the joy of God in your life. Praise God. Quit focusing on the negative and quit focusing on the bad things that are going on and try to find something good to talk about. Try to find some joy to revel in. You're not near excited about this tonight. Praise. I know how fun it is to talk about the negatives. Something depraved in our flesh wants to do that. Don't fret. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't fret.
Don't fret.
Don't be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. There's judgment that's coming. There's a problem in the house, but God's got it in control. Verse 3, everyone say, trust in the Lord. Turn to your neighbor, say, he's talking to me. And do good. Say, he's talking to me. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord and do good. You know what he does? He's not going to talk to you about the negative activities of someone else. He's not going to discuss with you what someone else is doing. He said, the ball is in your court. The responsibility is yours. God's only looking for your response. He's not interested at all in what your husband's not doing. He's not interested at all in what your wife is not doing. He wants to know, what will you do? He doesn't care about what your youth leader is doing or your friend on the pew with you is doing. He wants to know, what will you do? Autumn may be backslid in her heart. She may be going to the casinos every weekend and running around with fat gangsters and no telling what all she's doing. But God wants to know, what will you do? How are you going to live? How will you stand before God? The responsibility is mine. I can't deflect that responsibility by pointing at someone else, and God won't even engage in the discussion of it. Sister Lisa, your husband's not living for God right now. We believe he's going to. But it doesn't stop her. I see her in the middle of the day coming down to this house. She's in that prayer room. She's got a prayer life. She's not up in the middle of your face screaming at you like I do. And she's not real high profile. And she's not saying, look at me, look at me. But I'm telling you, she's got a faithful heart and a faithful prayer life before God. She's got a Davidian attitude that says, I'm not worried about what somebody else is not doing. I've made a determination in my heart. I'm going to live for God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that true? You're going to live for God? That's right. You've already determined that? My word. Sought for the Holy Ghost for 7 years. Well, sought for it once. Prayed for a long time. Praise God. But it doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I hold my destiny in my hand. Do you know that in the kingdom of God, there's nobody or there's nothing else, no other factor that has the power of your response? You hold the deciding factor, the component of destiny is in your hand when you're talking about the kingdom of God. Praise God. So it is my responsibility, 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Now, there's a mandate there. Brother Larry, he said, trust in the Lord. As if it were a decision. And do good. As if it were a decision. You can't come to God. Now, you know, we hear this all the time. I'm trying. I tried. Chase Adelman, did you clean your room? I tried. Now, Gabriella sat up. She got out the floor now. Gabriella, did you clean your room? I tried. What does that mean? That means no, I didn't. You know, are you trusting in the Lord? I'm trying. That's as dumb as when your kids say, I'm trying. And you know that's dumb, and you're looking at them thinking, that's a really dumb thing. And God says, are you trusting in me? I'm trying. And God's thinking, that's a dumb thing to say. You don't try. You either trust me or you don't. You're going to trust me. He said, man. Now, the reason we know this is a mandate form. Trust the Lord and do good. Are you doing good? I'm trying. Sometimes it just gets away from me and I don't do good. Just, I go places and do things and I don't mean to. And I'm trying to stop myself, but I can't. That's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense at all, does it? You don't try to live for God. You live for God. When you say, I'm trying, you're saying, I'm not ready to do this yet. I got some things I want to do that God doesn't like. When you say, I'm trying to be good, you're saying that I don't really trust him. I got some things I need to take care of, and I don't think he's able. Well, you know, Sunday nights are supposed to be revival fire. We're bogged down here a little bit. But this is really okay. Chapter 37 and verse 4. Delight. Everyone say, delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. How many of you want God to give you the desires of your heart? Okay, some of you don't. This means you're a real conflicted individual. Don't give me those things I want. The Word of God clearly says that we can walk in His presence and we can walk in His favor and He'll give us the desires of our heart if we delight ourselves in Him. What do you love? I love fishing. What do you love? I love stock car racing. What do you love? I love the NBA. What do you love? There's probably somebody tonight sitting here, white-knuckled. You don't know yet whether Indianapolis is still undefeated in the NFL. And there's some of you that don't even know what that means. Who's in Indianapolis? Who would be in Indianapolis? What do you love? I love the NFL. What do you love? I love girls. What do you love? I love boys. Think about them. I talk on the phone to them. I doodle in my notebooks at school about them, boys. What do you love? He said, now, none of those things will get you the desires of your heart. Isn't it funny that if you pursue after the boy, you may well get the wrong boy? If you pursue after the girl, you may get the wrong girl. David's a wise man. He said, I'd rather live in a corner of a rooftop than in a house with a brawling woman. He said, a brawling woman is like a leaky roof on a rainy day. He said, no, I better stop. You know, I know people that have chased the dollar and they choked on it. They got the prize and the material thing and they died spiritually. I've seen people chase success and it swallowed them up. But I've seen people pursue the Lord, delight themselves in the Lord, and they got the guy and they got the gal and they got the dough and they got the success. Isn't it an awesome backward thing, that paradoxical thing that God does? Seek you first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all the rest of it will be added to you. Has anybody found that to be true? Well, praise God. Do you want God to give you the desires of your heart? Then you've got to delight yourself in God. Somebody that delights in God never says, oh my God, we've got church again tonight. I can barely make it to the house of God. You know, you might as well be talking a foreign language to somebody like Sister Riggs. These elders get to the house of God when they're struggling in their bodies and they're burdened physically, but they love the house of God. I wish we had more elders in this church. I grew up in a church that had mighty oaks of elders all throughout it. And I mean, they were just there. You could set your clock. You could set your calendar by them. They were going to be in the house of God and they were glad to be there. And they were like clockwork for prayer and clockwork for faithfulness given to the things of God. Never entered their mind to complain about, oh, it's so miserable here. My God, I wish you'd shut up and quit preaching so I could get wherever I'm going. That's so important to get to. You wouldn't say anything like that, would you? No, because we delight ourselves. Well, Brother Sutton, I delight myself in the Lord, but you're not the Lord, you know? I love being in the house of God. I love preaching. I love the singing. I love the worship. I love the music. I love the people of God. I have purpose in my heart. David delighted himself in the things of God, and God gave him the desires of his heart. We're walking in the presence of God, walking in the anointing of God, and these are the ways that you get there. David is giving us a schedule of behavior and activity. Verse 5 in chapter 37. Everyone say, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And again, this is one of those verses that annihilates that I'm trying business, because he just said, do it. Commit to the Lord. Get committed. You've got to be committed to this thing. Praise God. You know, people have trouble being committed to one another, much less to God. They get married and divorced and married and divorced so many times you can't keep track of anything that's going on in their life, and children are being raised up that don't know who in the world is their daddy. And I mean, it's just a mess out there because there's a lack of commitment in our culture today. And if you're not careful, that'll bleed over into the church. Not committed to anything. I may show up, I may not. I may be there, I may not. I may help you, I may not. You You don't know if you can count on folks in this culture, but if they love God and if they're living for God and if they truly are God's people, they're committed. You can count on them. Solid as a rock. Somebody say praise the Lord. Are you committed to living for God? That's pretty tepid. Are you committed to being married? You know, strange audio thing going on there. I thought I heard a shout coming out of the side of your head. You never, ever use the D word. You never use the D word. Well, we might just get a divorce. I don't mean go to dinner or have a dog. I mean that divorce word. Dogs are pretty bad. They can break up a lot of folks. But we never use the D word. We never drop that bomb in the middle. Well, I'll just go home. No, you're not. Better think long and hard about that. We never use the D word. Never talk about divorce. Because why, Brandon? Something's terribly wrong in this service tonight. That is somehow connected to my gene pool. We never use the D word because we are committed. We took a vow. We took a vow before men, and we took a vow before God. And we just don't look back. We'll go through difficult times, and we'll have struggles, and we'll grow together, and life will change, and we will change with it. But those things that are destroying our culture today never enter into our mind because we're committed. We just lean forward into it just like living for God. We get slammed every day sometimes by things that are trying to prevent us from living for God. But we just lean into them and we just know He's going to deliver me out of all of them. I'm committed to Him. He's committed to me. We're not looking back. I don't ever have to question whether God is going to be there for me on any given day in any given circumstance. God's always going to be there for me. I want Him to know that I'll be there for Him. If He needs something done in this city, I want Him to know there's somebody He can call on. If God needs a messenger, I want Him to know there's a church here that has a heart to live for God and that we're not looking back. But I'll tell you, sadly, I have lived for God long enough. I've seen more go back than I've seen live for God. Now, if you've lived for God more than 20 years and you know that's true, say amen. What's the deal there? Lack of commitment. But David said, if you want the presence and you want the favor of God, commit yourself. Now, that's the way he phrases it. It's in mandate form. That means I can do that by a cognitive effort, by a decision on my part. The Word of God never told me to do anything that I couldn't do. God never called you to do anything that was beyond your power. So I know I can be committed to live for God just simply by making the decision to do that and not looking back. When you are waffling and you're experiencing God or in your marriage, it means that you are not committed. You are looking for a place to get off. You're looking for a place to get out. You've got something in your heart that wants fulfillment in another arena. But David said, if you want to walk in his presence and you want to know him in favor, then you commit yourself. Sister Riggs, you just commit yourself to God. That's just the way that it is. My God. You know, it's more dangerous for you young folks today than it's ever been before. When I was a kid, way back, nobody was divorced. Just didn't happen. And if you saw somebody that was divorced, it was like, that's a divorced person. It's like you've never seen one before. You wonder what kind of people those are. That's a divorced person. But today, it's very, very rare if you go all the way through grade school and high school and you have an intact home. You're the exception. And it's because commitment has died in the United States. Mothers are not committed to their unborn babies. Dads are not committed to take care of business when they father children. Pastors have abdicated commitment to the Word of God, and they've begun to dole out pablum and a little sweet nugget here or there, and they've set aside the Word of God. Fathers have given up on being committed to the Word of God in their homes to stand up and say, this is the Word of God, kids, and this is what we're going to do. And if you live here, this is what you get to live like, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to live for God. That's commitment to the Word of God. Praise God. Praise God. I remember Megan one night, she's about 11, I guess. She didn't get any spankings after she was about 10, I think. But one night I'm standing at the bottom of the stairs and she's at the top. And I've laid it down and I've told her how it's going to be. And she was resistant. And she was going to bow up. And I just said, honey, right now, you can call DHR. You can come get them out of, you can come let them take you out of this house if you want to. But as long as you're here, and as long as you're mine, and as long as I've got power, we're going to do it this way. Praise God. Now, she could have broken my heart, and she could have run off with some red-headed fella. But I found if you commit yourself to God, trust in Him, He'll bring it to pass. Has anybody found that that's a truth in your life? You commit yourself to God, you trust in Him, and He brings it to pass. Praise God. David is giving us what we need. I'm going to stop. I want you to stand together. And why don't we come down around the altar together tonight? Praise God. Chapter 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord. If you're walking by somebody, tell them relax in the hands of God. Verse 6, He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and the judgment as the... Do you know God will vindicate you? If you're the first up here, step up on the second step there and make room for those that are coming. Praise God. Brother Dimitri, do you know you don't have to fight your own battles? That God will fight your battles for you? The Word of God said if you trust in Him, you commit, He'll make it come to pass. I find David teaching us that God will vindicate you. You don't have to fight your own battle. And you don't have to prove anything, but God will vindicate you. Brother Hagedorn, I read a story about a man that was in North Korea during that conflict. And in that frozen, bitter winter, they captured an enemy combatant. But as they brought him into their camp, they found out he was Chinese. And that was brand new. We didn't know the Chinese were in the thing yet. That changed the whole thing. But they got that guy and they were giving him interrogation and they were trying to understand what he was saying. They had to get an interpreter to come. And he was just giving them what for in Chinese. One guy, and he's surrounded by Americans with guns, and he's just giving it to them. And when they finally understood what he said, there's a million Chinese right behind me, and you are in more trouble than you've ever been in all your life. And it was the truth. We got our ears waxed. But that little guy was standing there in the strength, knowing he was going to be vindicated. That somebody bigger than him was behind him. I want you to know tonight, the next time you tie up with the devil, and the next time you get in a place that's a jam, you're in trouble, I want you to look your enemy in the eye, and I want you to tell him, there's somebody behind me that's bigger than you are. There's somebody coming. I don't know when he's going to get here, but when he gets here, You're going to wish you never laid your hand on me. You're going to wish you never walked into my home or touched my family. There's somebody coming, and we're going to be vindicated. Somebody say praise the Lord. Come on, if you love him tonight, you want to walk in his favor, let's praise him. Let's lift him. Let's magnify him. We give you praise, oh God. We worship your name, oh God. Somebody want to recommit your heart to God? You've been drifting a little bit. You want to say, God, I'm going to trust you by decision. I'm going to commit to you by decision. I'm not going to try anymore. I'm going to do this thing. I know how to live for God. I'm going to do this now. Praise God. Praise God. Go ahead and lift up a voice to him right now. Hallelujah. God, I've got some battles I need you to fight. I've got some enemies I need you to subdue. I've got some problems I need you to solve. I need your presence in my life, oh God. I need your hand on my home and on my family. I'm going to do what it takes to make that work. Why don't you lay your hand on somebody by you? Take somebody's hand and begin to praise him tonight. Somebody by you and just tell them, I'm not trying, I'm committed to God. Tell them, I'm not trying, I'm gonna do good. Come on, tell somebody, I'm not trying, I'm leaving all the evil. My God, if you can be committed to God, God will be committed to you. Clap your hands unto him, bless his name. We magnify your name, Almighty God. We lift you up, oh God. Well, praise God. Well, this is Christmas week. Have a wonderful time of fellowship with your family. I hope everybody has a prosperous and a wonderful season here together. And we're gonna come back around here Wednesday night for whoever is able and whoever will.